to? What is it that is so important to you that you want to try to hold on to it? Now, before I go any farther in the message, I want to pause and I want to give a couple of our teens, or I guess you're teens now, right? I want to give some of our youth an opportunity to share what the Lord has done for them at camp. And I want you to understand, this week they were challenged to take a hold of God. This week they were challenged to repent, to rethink. They were challenged to learn how to respond. You can't respond to things the same way you used to respond to them. You're a new person now, so you don't respond the same way. They learned all these things. The Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way. And so I want them to come and I want them to share with you what the Lord did for them at camp and how that the Lord blessed. And if they take off preaching, that's all right with me. Hello? So I want you to encourage them as they come this evening and as they share their testimony, and then we are going to come right back to what is it that you're taking hold of, all right? Okay, so who's going to go first? Bless you, Gesundheit.
Well, I came...
It's on, go ahead.
I came this week. It was really, it was amazing. We went there, and we had hard times. We faced challenges. Some of us had challenges with our counselor, you know, but some of us tried to do the right thing, even though it was really hard. We had kids there that were unsaved. We had people who didn't like us. We experienced a lot of new things, and we realized that, well, I realized that I'm a really picky person, and I like things to be done specific. If I don't like it, I don't really care about it. But while I was there, they talked about worship. And I realized I'm really picky about my music. If I don't like it, I don't want to hear it. If it's boring, I don't want it. If it's too, I don't like it. But we were there. I realized that it's not about the type of music it is. It's about God. That it's not about whether we like it or not. It's not about whether the person can sing or not. It's not about how bad they play the guitar. It's not about how awesome they may be at the drums. It's not about that. It's not about if it's about us, it's not worship. If we want it our way, it's not worship. Worship is giving it to the God, giving it to God. And I realized that whenever the music's boring, it don't matter. As long as I'm listening to the message in the song, as long as I know that God's there in the midst, as long as I know that me lifting my hands up and worshiping is me saying, I surrender, God, I give it to you. That it's not about me anymore, God. It's not about the type of music. It's not about the person singing. I also realized that I take stuff more serious than it should be. I don't like to play around that much. People make me mad. I'm on my bad side, get on my face. But I realized that I need to turn the other cheek. That when people come up to me and they say wrong things to me and they hurt me, that it's not, whenever I go and I try to get revenge, two wrongs don't make a right. I realize that when people do wrong to me, I'm supposed to be like Jesus, and I've had a really hard time with that. I've realized that people have hurt me, and that people will hurt me, and that people will fail me, but God will never fail me. I realize that my past is my past. I realize that God loves me enough to take it away. And He'll take my hurt and turn it into something so much greater. And that what He has in store for me is something greater than what I have in store for me. What He has in store for me is greater than all the things I have been through. All the things that I want to do. All the things that I feel like I need. It's not about me. It never has been about me. It never will be about me. He didn't put me here to experience things that I wanted. He put me here to go out and help bring people to God. He put me here for a purpose. And not my purpose, but His purpose. He put me here to fulfill something. Not what I want. Not what I want to go do. It's not about me. It's not about Shayla. It's not about me showing people about me. It's not about people looking at me and saying, oh, Shayla's so pretty. Oh, well, Shayla got this wrong with her. Oh, I like the way Shayla dresses. Oh, I like those things that Shayla does. It's not about me. I don't want people to look at me and say, oh, Shayla's amazing. I love Shayla's personality. I don't want them to do that. I want them to look at me and say, Shayla lives for God. I want them to look at me and see God through me. I want my fire to be so on so hot, so bright, that when I go in the darkest of place, that it still shines. That when I'm around the person that hates me the most, I can show them nothing but love and kindness. That when I'm around people who do wrong things, I can try to help them. That I get around the right type of people and not sinners. Because when I'm around there, it's going to tempt me. And eventually, temptation, I will give in to. I don't need to be around those type of people because it will rub off on me. If I'm around people who like to do drugs, eventually it will draw me in and I will do drugs. If I'm around people who are boy crazy, it'll make me boy crazy. If I'm around people who don't believe in God, who don't want to live for God, it'll eventually draw me out. When I'm around people who don't believe, eventually I'll stop believing. If I'm not around people who want to be around God, I'll give up on God. I'm easily influenced. And I also like to be in the in crowd, but it's not about that no more. It's not about me wanting to be popular. It's not about me wanting people to like me. It's not about me. And it took me a long time to realize that. And it also took me a really long time to forgive myself. I've been numb. I've been hurt. I felt like people weren't there, like people didn't care about me. I've been in a lot of messed up situations. And most of the time I do wrong things. There's been probably slim to none that I've done the right thing, that none of the right outcomes come from it because of my actions. But it's time for me to realize I need to turn the other cheek. God never said it would be easy. He never told me the race that I am supposed to run will be all joyful and amazing and I will never experience hurt. He never told me that it would be easy. Never once did he say that. It will be hard and I will experience pain. But whenever the times get hard and it starts to hurt, that's when my faith has to be strong. That's when I have to rely on Jesus, because I know that if I'm to fall and I'm with God, He will catch me and lift me back up. I know that if I'm with God and people are standing up against me, that He will protect me, that He will be my shield of protection. I know that whenever I feel like I'm hurt or whenever I'm broken, that God is a spiritual doctor. And just like I go to the doctors for checkups, I need to go see Him recent. I need to go to Him daily because He will fix me when I'm broken. He will give me medicine to treat me whenever I am hurt. My father's never been in my life, and I've been hurt by that. My actual father, it seems like sometimes he don't want nothing to do with me, and that hurts me. I feel like I don't have nobody that's there, but God's my father, and He will be there. He loves me when nobody else does. Like a blanket covers us. He covers me with the Holy Spirit. And as long as I keep that on, as long as I bring that blanket with me, it will protect me. As long as I have that blanket with me, who's to stand against me? As long as I have Him, what can stand against me? Nothing. Things that are and will be... Sorry about that. But things are impossible with men. But if you have God, nothing's impossible. Because nothing's impossible with Him. He never will tell you it'll be easy. You will go through things. But the thing that matters is what you'll do with the things that's happened in your life. What matters is what you will do with it. What matters is when people stand up against you, what you will do. It don't matter what they do or what they say as long as you have God. He's there. As long as you ask for it. I realized that I've always wanted things to be my way. Now I wanted things to be Shayla's way. And if it wasn't Shayla's way, then I never really cared. And I need to let that go of that part of me. And it's going to be hard. But I can't keep not one piece of it. It's like a rag. If I keep even a little piece of the rag, it'll come back and it will tempt me. And it'll say, Shayla, come on, grab it. And eventually, if I don't let it go, I will grab it. And something worse will come out of it. And it'll lean on something else and something else and something else and keep going down the road. And it'll distract me from the path that I'm supposed to be running. It'll take me off my path. And I'll be lost. I was lost once before. I tried to do it myself. I tried to think that I was strong enough and capable of doing it. But I'm not. You have to ask God to give you the wisdom, the strength, the courage. Everything that you need, you have to ask God for it. if you don't have it, then you won't survive. You can't do it on yourself, by yourself. And sin is easy. It's easy to do what you want. Don't we all? We know that it's easy. It's not hard to go off and do this with that person and that with the other. It's not hard. It's easy. We love to do what we want. But it takes a bigger person to stand up and go against what people are doing, to stand up and stand out for God. And it will be hard. But if we stand up in that battle, God will be there. If we stand up and we go out and we tell other people, then they will come eventually and we will have more people on our side. But if we hide it, what is there to come from it? It'll be harder on us. We have to go out and get them. We have to go out and help. If we don't get on the bus soon, it'll leave. God don't need us. He never said He needed us, but He wants us. He loves us. He wants us to go out and help get them. He wants us to go out and help others. He wants us to be able to stand up against the others whenever they do wrong. But you have to ask of Him. He says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open. So we have to ask for Him to give us the strength that we will need. We have to ask for Him to give us the wisdom that we need to know for the knowledge that we'll need to go out there and reach those people. That whenever we go in the dark, it's a place that our light is so bright that it will shine, that it will take that darkness, and there will be no more darkness, but it will be light. That our cup is so overflowing that it will flood Huntington. And once Huntington's flooded, that it will move on to another city, eventually to the state, and cover this place. God has such an amazing thing in store for us. But we all have to be willing to go. We have to be willing to do what He says. We have to be willing. We have to be willing to be able to be broken so that He can reshape us. We have to ask God to break us so that He can reshape us into the person He wants. We have to be willing, because if we're not willing, then He's not going to do it. You have to ask Him. You have to want to do it. If you don't want to, then you're not going to. If you don't have a desire in your heart to want to do right, you won't do right. You'll do wrong. That's just how we are. If we don't want to do it, or if we don't try, if we don't attempt, then we won't do it. We think a lot about ourselves. Well, at least I know I do. I know I was very conceived with myself that I didn't care about other people. But God had to break me and reshape me and let me know that it's not about you, Shayla. It never has been about you. You are here for a purpose. But if you will not take your calling that I have for you, I'll give it to somebody else. I don't need you, Shayla, but I want you. And it hurt. It was hard for me to let go. I'm not telling you that it's easy to let go. It is extremely difficult to step out of the boat onto the water. But God's right there stretching His hand out towards you, telling you that He loves you to come on, that you can do it. If you don't step out of the boat, you can't reach His hands. His arms stretched out towards you, but you have to go too. The race that He has in store for you to run is amazing. Something so much more. It's greater than what you can do. It's greater than what you can experience. It's greater than the bondage. It's greater than the chains. It's greater than anything that you can experience. That you think you can think of the most amazing things all put together. But still, what God has in store for you is something so much more greater than that. What God has in store for you is amazing. You might not think it is, but it is. You might think that God's giving you a hard time, but He says that I feel like He's saying that He's getting us ready for something so much greater. That the pain that we're going through is building us up for something so much greater. That what we are hurting and all the things that it's building us up. It's making our wall so much stronger so that when Satan comes and tries to knock it down, that it's too strong. That he can't knock it down. That whenever we see Satan and other people trying to knock us down, we can say, Satan, go. I have Jesus. I don't need you. Your temptations are nothing. It's not worth it. It's not worth going to hell. It's not worth being hurt. It's not worth the earth joy. Because when we die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And since I want to go to heaven, I have to do what I know is right here. To do wrong and you know it's wrong, that's sin. And I've been really guilty of that. I've done a lot of wrong things. I've hurt a lot of people. And I I've been hurt by a lot of people. But God forgives me. God will forgive you. But you have to forgive yourself. I'm guilty of not forgiving myself. It's hard, and it hurts. Because I know I've done wrong. I know that I'm not worthy of God. I know that I'm no good. I know that I have sinned. But I know that my God's a loving God. I know that my God's a forgiving God. Through the cross, we can receive salvation. Through the cross, we can be baptized in the blood of Jesus. Through the cross, we can be forgiven.
This is the way that she was at camp, only with a little bit more fire. And she'd get up and she'd testify in front of all those kids and get them all worked up. She'd get up after Rod had some team games and he'd give a spiritual application for the games. We had boys versus girls and stuff. And then we came to one where we had a human maze. And so Shayla comes through the maze and everything. She made it through faster than all the others because she tuned everybody else out and listened to the still small voice of Rod. Not the still small voice of God, the still small voice of Rod. And so she got through 1 minute earlier. Everyone else was over 2 minutes. She made it through in like 1 minute 20 seconds. 1 minute 11 seconds. See, somebody was keeping track. And so then afterward, Rod says, you know what, this is the application of this. And then he begins to talk and he says, what did you learn? And so Shayla begins to say it, and then he starts to say something. He just stops and lets Shayla explain it all. And so there's Shayla, and she's just explaining it away, and everyone is just listening and soaking it in, that in the life that we live, we have to listen to the voice of God. So, you know, this has been wonderful. Now, all of our kids were really blessed and a blessing this week, and praying with different folks, and just the power of God moving in and through and on and all around our kids. So who wants to go next? Come on. Here you go, Marissa.
Thank you. Well, at camp, it was kind of different because while we were there, some things were said to me that I did not like at all. And it kind of led me to proving that person wrong because I knew she was wrong. And I knew what she said. I mean, it had an effect on me, but it hurt me more than it, like, it hurt, I think it would have hurt me more than it hurt anyone else because, well, maybe not Shayla, but still. It hurt me because, I mean, that's something that I wouldn't want to say to anybody else, and the fact that she would say something like that to me made me worship more and made me change my ways while I was there because God literally broke me. Like, he broke me to the point where I could barely stand up, and I was crying so hard, and I didn't even want to leave. That's how bad and how good it felt when he broke me and then he reshaped me into the person that he wanted me to be. It was different because I wasn't like the other person. I didn't get mad as easy, and I mean, it softened my heart a little, and I had a little more patience. There we go. A little more patience than I had before because, I'll come back to that. But while I was there, something happened to me with another camper, and it made me think, like, maybe I don't necessarily need this person in my life anymore, even though he wasn't really in my life. But maybe I don't need this kind of drama, and maybe I don't need this kind of pain and stuff. So he kind of taught me to forgive and forget, but I'm still working on the forget part. Because, I mean, I forgave this person, but, I mean, I'm going to probably remember this for the rest of my life because it hurt me so bad. But just while I was there, it was so much more different than being here because I was around people that was my age and they were doing the same things that I was doing. And I just looked out like, wow, these are all God's children just like we are. And they probably feel the same way when they go back to their hometown and stuff. And while I was there, it just felt like maybe while I'm here, I can actually show people who I really am instead of putting on a mask and just not being myself around some people and doing stuff that other people want to do because, I mean, they're my friends. But while I was there, he showed me that I don't necessarily need them to be my friends. Maybe I'll just, you know, lead them to God and then not necessarily forget about them, but kind of remember the stuff that they're doing and try to help them not to go back to it, but don't try to be their... Yes. Their best buddy or anything like that. Just stop and forget. But while I was there, it was kind of... I don't know how to say this, but it was so great to actually see these other kids, like, praying because this church doesn't have as many kids as other churches do, but when God gets us going, it's really hard for us to stop. And it was like just one night, we did nothing but praise Him and worship Him. We didn't even have... the preacher could not even talk, and it was just so great. What? He didn't do his sermon. And it was just so great because everybody was falling out in the spirit and then getting back up and trying to pray for somebody else and falling back out in the spirit. And it was just like, wow, this is what God can do. And I know that's not all He can do either because I've seen Him do much more bigger things, and I kind of didn't want to come back. Because it's like that every year that we go somewhere like Winterfest or to youth camp. It's like that because I see other people praising Him and I see other people doing the same things that I'm doing. And then I come back to Huntington. Ooh. It's just like, I think this place needs so much more help. And I mean, just for us to go out and be followers of Christ and show other people that we can be followers of Christ is dangerous. It's really dangerous. But I'm willing to lose my life for God, and I don't care, but I don't want to do it alone. Shayla. It was just great because He broke me and then He built me back up to be somebody else and not to be the same person that I was when I left here Sunday night. And I came back a changed person. Like, I'm working on not killing my sister. And I prayed about that. And He's actually helping me. And I've started praying a lot more often than what I was. And I'm starting to read the Bible again. And I think I'm going to stop before I start crying. So here.
Did any of the other young people want to say something? They're all so tired, even still, yet today. So we'll go on, all right? But they all enjoyed it, right? Tati, you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Edwin, you enjoyed it? You enjoyed camp? You enjoyed youth camp, right?
Yes, sir.
Joshua, did you enjoy it? Huh? You already answered. Ian, did you enjoy camp? He's being shy. He's trying not to respond at all. He doesn't like everybody looking at him. So, all right. Well, let's go on with the sermon. Now, you heard these kids talk about different things that they faced while they were at camp, and it was a struggle. It was hard. There were hardships. There were people that were supposed to be great spiritual people, that were supposed to be spiritual leaders, who were not spiritual leaders, who were vicious and hateful in the way that they acted. And our kids found themselves in a very difficult position of trying to serve Jesus, show Jesus, and yet having somebody who is supposed to be a spiritual leader coming against them. It would have been very easy for them to hold on to the bad feelings, very easy to hold on to the bitterness, very easy to hold on to, why, God, did you even let this happen? It would have been very easy for them to have done that, so when it came time for the prayer and everyone was calling on the name of God and trying to grab a hold of God, it would have been very easy for them not to try and hold on to God, but instead to hold on to something else. Sometimes we hold on to bad things and it keeps us away from God. Sometimes we hold on to good things and they keep us away from God. Sometimes we hold on to things that used to be God things, but now they're just good things, and it no longer helps us, and God wants us to let it go so that we can take a hold of God. And as we said, Isaiah told us there, he said, you know what, Lord? He said, there is no one who calls on your name. There's no one who stirs himself up to take hold of you. You've hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. If we keep on holding on to those things, we will not be able to find the face of God no matter how much we seek for it, because we're not really truly calling on his name to be identified with his name. We're still wanting to be who we think we are. And you know what? Everyone else just has to deal with it. But when we call on his name, we take his identity, we become more and more like him, and as a result, we stir ourselves up to take a hold of God. And instead of being consumed by our iniquities and God hiding his face from us, our iniquities gradually disappear. The Apostle Paul put it this way. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, you know what? I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So this is Paul saying, you know what? I've done all kinds of great things. I've got trophies galore. I am a great person. I'm a wonderful guy. And you know what? I could display all these things for you, but instead of doing that, I choose to let them all go and I count them as rubbish. But literally, guess what the word is that he uses there for rubbish? Dung. You know what dung is? Manure. Poop. As was just so eloquently spoken. The Apostle Paul said, everything that I am, everything that I was, that I could hold on to, I'm letting it all go as if it were what? Poop.
Dung.
It does sound better, doesn't it? So I'm letting it all go. I count it all as rubbish. Why? He said, I count it all as rubbish. And then he says, I want to be found in him. He said that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Remember what Isaiah said about our righteousness. It's as filthy rags. He says, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So we take a hold of God and he turns it into righteousness. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Notice how that we always want to talk about the life, but we don't want to talk about the death. He says, I want to be conformed to Jesus in my death. Marissa said, I'm willing to die for Jesus. She wants somebody to be willing to die for Jesus with her. That's what she said. You know what? Paul said, I'm willing to die for Jesus too. He said, I count everything that I used to be, all the great things that I am and that I've done, I count it all as dung or, yeah. And he said, I count it all as that, so that I can get into Christ and I can have his righteousness. And as a result of all of this, I can be conformed in his death. I'm willing to die for Christ. And then he said, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. How many of you want to be resurrected? You know that means you have to die. Resurrection does not come without a death. And so when you have Isaiah saying, there's no one who wants to call on the name of the Lord and stir themselves up to take a hold of God, what he's saying is there's nobody who wants to die. There's nobody who wants to let go of the things in this life and take hold of God so they can live. Are you still with me? All right. So there's no one who wants to listen to God. There's no one who wants to call upon Him. There's nobody who wants to take a hold of Him, get into a wrestling match with God. How many of you remember what happens when Jacob gets in a wrestling match with God? His thigh is out of joint. He actually prevailed against God. He was actually winning the wrestling match. And God says the next morning, you need to let me go because the sun's about to rise. And Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And God says to him, what's your name? And he says, my name is Jacob. I'm the supplanter. I'm the trickster. I'm the one who does all the bad things to get what I want. That's what his name meant. God says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but your name will now be Israel, because you have wrestled with God and prevailed. Because you took the time to stir yourself up, to get a hold of God, and now your identity is completely different. Sheila, you said you're not that same person anymore. Your identity is completely changed. It's different. You're a new person. You are, another definition of Israel is a prince with God. You are now a princess. Marissa, Tati, you're princesses. Edwin?
I'm a king.
No, you're a prince. Each and every one of you, we come to Christ, and as a result, we're royalty. But as He went away from that, in order to seal the deal, God reached out and touched the thigh, touched His hip. And when He did, it came out of socket, and from that day forward, He walked with a limp. And everywhere He go, every step that He took, He was showing He had died out to who He used to be. Every step He was showing, He took the time to hold on to God instead of holding on to bitterness, instead of holding on to good things and bad things, instead of holding on to anything that could have been in the way of His relationship with God. He held on to God, and every step He took was evidence to everyone around that He had got a hold of God. Now, I want to show you something. I had hoped to be able to do this with video, but with some things that have gone on with people coming in and cleaning at the parsonage, my video converter has come up missing. So we're going to have to do this a slightly different way. Can you tell me who this is on the screen? Can any of you see that? Who is it? Indiana Jones. It's Indiana Jones. Okay. This is from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Any of you remember that movie? Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. What he's trying to do is he's trying to find the cup of Christ, the chalice that Christ used at the Lord's Supper. And then, according to legend, they caught the blood of Christ in it. And because of that, anybody who would drink out of this cup would live forever. That was the thinking. And what they find out when they find the cup is as long as you continue to drink out of this cup, you just keep on living. You just keep on living. There's a lot of spiritual truth in that alone. All right? So the cup of Christ, he finds the cup of Christ. He comes out, he brings water in it to take it to his father because his father has been shot. His father is dying. And so he brings the cup of Christ to his father for him to drink so that he can be miraculously healed. Again, there's a lot of spiritual truth in that as well. But he is warned by the last of the Knights Templar that he is not to cross the seal and take the cup beyond the seal. If he takes the cup beyond the seal, it will bring doom. It has to stay in this place. And so he takes it and he gives the water to his father. His father is healed, and he turns around and there's his girlfriend, who had also been his enemy but came back to be his girlfriend. Well, you know how that all that goes, right? Boys and girls. His girlfriend grabs the cup and begins to carry it across the seal. She's holding on to the cup of Christ, this great archaeological find, and she wants to take it because she believes that if she drinks it, not only will she live forever, but she'll have all kinds of power. She'll be able to do all kinds of things because she has the cup of Christ. And so as she's beginning to step across the seal, Indiana Jones tells her, says, no, it's not worth it. Let it go. You can't carry it across the seal. She carries it across the seal, and all of a sudden the floor opens up, and she begins to slip, and she begins to fall, and she drops the chalice. And as she drops the chalice, she's hanging on, and he reaches down and grabs a hold of her hand. She's wearing gloves. And he grabs a hold of her hand. He's beginning to try and pull her up. And she's reaching out for the cup of Christ. And she says, Indy, I can almost touch it. Just a little bit more. I can almost touch it. And he's telling her, Elsie, I can't hold on to you. I need your other hand. Let it go. Let me take your other hand. Let it go. I need your hand. And she will not forget about the cup and grab a hold of his hand. And the glove that he's holding on to, her hand slips out of it, and she falls to her death. Well, then there's a little bit of an earthquake, and he falls down into this pit. He's barely hanging on, and he looks over, and he sees the cup of Christ. So here he is. He's hanging on for dear life. He looks down, and it's really hard to see in this one because of the way that the light's shining through right now. But what you have here you have him. You can't hardly see his face, but that's where he is. And right over here, this little gold thing, that's the cup. Right over here is the feet of his father. His father sees his son falling, trying to hold on to something that he's not supposed to hold on to. And the father reaches out and grabs a hold of his hands and begins to try and pull. But then Indy looks over and he sees the cup and he thinks, I can get that cup. And so with one hand, he's holding on to his father, and with the other hand, he's trying to take the cup. There's nothing special about that cup anymore. There's nothing special about that cup. Yeah, there was healing power, but it was associated with the person who the cup had been used by. It's not the cup. And he's reaching out to try and grab a hold of the cup. And as he's trying to grab a hold of the cup, here's his father holding his hand and saying, Indy, let it go. Indy, let it go. You don't need that cup. You've got to let that cup go. He continues to try and get his attention. There is his father holding on to his hands, saying, Indy, I don't want to lose you. Indy, let it go. It's not worth it. And in that moment, Indy makes a decision that instead of trying to hold on to the cup, which would have been a great treasure, instead of trying to hold on to the cup that would have made a great trophy, a cup that, you know, would have made him famous, instead of trying to reach out to the cup, he decides that he'd rather listen to the voice of his father. And he reaches out and he grabs with both hands his father, and his father pulls him out of the hole. And they run out of this place, and immediately it all collapses around them. And the cup is lost forever, but Indy has his life. He had to choose what it was that he was going to hold on to. Just like Paul said, I have chosen that I'm going to let all this stuff go. It's going to be like rubbish to me. But then listen to what else he has to say. He says, not that I've already attained. He says, I'm not perfect yet. He said, but I press on. And this is what he says. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that. I can get a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. See, at the end of the day, it's not everything around us that matters. It's who took a hold of us and are we holding on to Him? Jesus reaches out and He grabs us and He's trying to hold on to us, and we're stretching toward the things of the world. We're stretching toward that bitterness. We're stretching toward that tradition. We're stretching toward that custom. We're stretching toward this understanding or this thing. When all along Jesus is saying, let it go and just take a hold of my hands. Just let it go and take a hold of my nail-scarred hands and let me carry you out of this. Let me pull you out of this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writes again, he says, you, man of God, I want you to flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. He says, I want you to leave all these other things that you could hold on to. These are the things I want you to strive for. Righteousness, and what do we say about righteousness? That comes through faith in God, right? Godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And then he says this to him, he says, Timothy, and I want you all to understand, Timothy was a young person who was beginning his ministry. He was actually considered to be an apostle, but he was going and he was ministering. He was preaching the gospel everywhere that he went. He was very much like you kids coming back from camp. He was fired up for Jesus. And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. He says, as you're fighting the good fight of faith, I want you to understand, you're laying hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, this is what he says. He says, you say that you're a Christian. You say that you have eternal life, but if you're not fighting the good fight, it's not real. He said, you made the profession, you've made the confession, and you've said you're a Christian, but now you've got to live it out. You've got to fight the good fight that you may lay hold on that eternal life. And it goes hand in hand with what Paul said earlier about that which the Lord has taken hold of me for. I want to get a hold of Jesus. I want to hold on to Him. So what is it that we're holding on to? What is it that we're trying to grab a hold of and not let go of? We need to grab a hold of something much greater than ourselves. We need to get a hold of God. I've got one more picture that I want to show you, and I hope you can see it, but if you can't, I'll explain it. And as I explain it, I want you to understand part of it may be a little bit gory to some of you, but it's good. I first heard about this several years ago, and then when I first saw the picture, I was hooked. How many of you know that life begins at conception? That's the general consensus, right? There was a doctor who was wanting to try something. He saw that there was an area in a baby when they were looking at the ultrasound and everything, saw there was an area at the of a baby that was not closed up properly, and it was going to cause birth defects and everything. And so he decided he was going to try something that had never been tried before. And he was going to take a baby that in some places in this country at that particular time, it would have been legal for the parents to abort the baby, to kill the baby. And so he decided that even though the odds might be against it, he was going to try to operate on this baby and to close up this baby's spinal area so that this baby would have a better chance at life. And so the doctor has the placenta come out of the mother, and he does the surgery, and then as he's putting the baby, you know, back in and getting ready to have everything all sewed up, that baby that some people in our country still say today was just a mass of tissue did something. I don't know that you can see this very well, so I'm going to point it out. Here you see the hands of the surgeon. Here you see the placenta. Right here is the finger of the surgeon, and right here, coming out of the hole where the baby was, is this tiny hand that reached out and grabbed a hold of the surgeon's finger. This picture is of a baby that in some places people would have wanted to kill this baby. Just after having surgery, reaching out and grabbing a hold of somebody who was greater than the baby, who was working to fix that baby's life before that baby even knew what was going on. This picture went viral. It went all over the world saying, how can you tell me that that is not a living being? That that is not a human? Here's the point, though. What are you holding on to? Are you holding on to the master physician, or are you holding on to your problems? Are you holding on to what God has in store for you because you're holding on to God, or are you holding on to what God did in times past and it's distracting you? God has better days ahead than all the days that have gone before. And if you'll hold on to God, He'll hold on to you. Amen. Will you stand this evening? The Apostle Paul said back there in Philippians chapter 3, again he said, I've not already attained, nor am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And then he said these words. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I let them all go. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting everything else that's gone on, forgetting everything else, letting it all go, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, I'm letting it all go. And now I'm reaching out to take a hold of God. And it's like running a race. And I'm focusing in on the finish line. And I'm not going to let anything hold me back. What are you holding on to? Adults, you've heard this message twice today now. You heard it first of all concerning Moses' rod this morning. Letting it go. You heard it about Moses leaving behind his sandals, that which was comfortable to him, letting it go so that he could be what God wanted him to be. Every one of us tonight, we've been challenged over the course of this day that we need to let certain things go so that we can grab a hold of God, because there's nothing more important than grabbing a hold of Him. If you don't have a hold of God, you'll forget why you're even doing what you're doing. You'll get distracted. You'll lose it all. Why? Because God, according to what Isaiah said, God will hide His face from you. And you will be consumed within your own iniquity. We've got to call on the name of the Lord and stir ourselves up to take a hold of God. Now here's what I want us to do. Here in just a moment, I'm going to have an open time of prayer. But I want to challenge you, and especially those of you that love our kids in this church. I want to challenge you to be praying for them over the course of the next several months. Because you know what? These kids have got the goods. They've got the glory of God residing inside of them, and He's been proving it. God has been doing awesome things in them and through them, and He's not done with them yet. But they're going to be going up against things. They're going to be vying for their attention to try and get them to let go of God's hand and reach out to something else. And I want you to be praying for them over the next several months. Now, young people, I want you to be praying for these adults over the next several months. You know why? Because there's going to be things that are going to happen in their lives, and they're going to be tempted to reach out to things that might have even been good things, but they're not God things. And they're going to be tempted to let go of what God is getting ready to do to try and reach out to something that God never intended. Or something that has had its day and it's over and done and God's getting ready to do a new thing. So I want you to be praying for them just like I want them to be praying for you. Will you do that? Some of you have already been doing that. But I want to encourage you to continue to do that through the next several months. But right now, I want us to just pray. Worship the Lord for a few moments. And then the altars will be open for each and everyone who would like to come and to spend some time making sure that we're holding on to God and not anything else. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we glorify You and praise Your holy name. Lord, You are the one who reigns supreme. You are the one, Lord God, who has called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light that we might show forth the good things of God, Your light, Your good works, all of the things, Lord, that You have put within our care. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that You help us to not lose sight of You, to not let go of You, to not reach out to the things of this world, to the things of the past, not to reach out to anything other than You. Lord, help us to grab a hold of You with all that we are and not let go, no matter what happens, no matter what anyone says, no matter what anyone does. We know that we know that we know we are holding on to You, and You will work out everything. Father, we glorify You tonight. We praise You tonight because, God, You are the one who is working in our lives. We glorify You. We magnify You, God, because You are the one who grabbed a hold of us and challenges us, Lord, to grab a hold of You. God, we worship You in this place. We praise You, Lord. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercies that are made new every morning. God, we thank You that, Lord, You've never given up on us and You are constantly reaching out to us, asking us to let go of another thing, to let go of another aspect of our lives, to let go of this and let go of that so that we can have a hold of God. Lord, we thank You that You never give up on us. Hallelujah, Lord.